Take your Bibles and open them to Psalm 117. Psalm 117. It might interest you to know that if you were to go and cut the Bible exactly in half and find the center point, it would be Psalm 117. So if you open your Bible exactly in the middle, it ought to fall somewhere in the 117th Psalm. Let me read that in its entirety for you. Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud Him, all peoples. For His loving kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Now, if you use your collegiate powers of deduction, you can tell this is a very short psalm. It has the distinction of being the shortest of all the psalms, the shortest chapter in the Bible, the exact middle of the Bible. It's been called the mighty midget of the Psalms. I can identify with that. The Tom Thumb of the Psalter. But these two verses, Psalm 117, are like lead. It doesn't take very much to show you how heavy it really is. Much heavier than they appear at first. Derek Kidner says this of the psalm: the shortest psalm proves, in fact, to be one of the most potent and most seminal, end quote. Martin Luther penned 36 pages of commentary on these two verses, and Spurgeon said that there are at least five major doctrines in these two verses. Psalm 117 is the Old Testament parallel of John 11:35, where John writes, Jesus wept. Short, descriptive, deep, full, rich, swimming in meaning and understanding. There's an old saying that little is much if God is in it. And that's certainly the case in Psalm 117. Little in length, but much in truth. Another popular saying is less is more. And I think that's true of Psalm 117. Less really is more in these two verses. In fact, these two small verses are like tiny arms that actually reach around the whole world. That's how big this psalm is. What I want us to do briefly in some abbreviated time this morning, and then I want us to actually do something we don't do very often and corporately on Sunday morning, and that's get together and pray about this, is to talk about the mission of the church and to talk about the mission of God. Those are one and the same. The mission of the church is the mission of God, is the mission of Christ, ought to be your mission. It ought to be your passion, your purpose. And it is to see God's name famous around the world. Peter told us back in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we're called by God so that we can, get this, explain what is excellent about God to anyone and everyone who will hear it. There's your purpose in life, to extol the excellencies of God. Now, first of all, that means you know the excellencies of God, those things that are excellent about God, and then you tell other people about them. That's the simple process of evangelism. This passage in Psalm 117, I think, is especially challenging, convicting, encouraging, and inspiring personally to me. The subject is the praise of God. No title, no circumstances to ascertain its background, no indication of its composer. But the subject is power-packed. Why the interest in missions? Why the interest in Psalm 117? Well, at the turn of the 20th century, God did something amazing, and you ought to know about this. He stirred the hearts of some special people to begin a revival of missions around the country. There was a massive amount of people flowing, Christians flowing out of the United States, going all around the world, taking the gospel. A huge resurgence in missionary movement. And it was begun entirely, are you ready for this? By college students. It wasn't led by a pastor. It wasn't led by a missions organization. It was led by a group of college students who became known as the Student Volunteer Movement. Collegians were moved with deep and abiding passion to see God praised in places that he'd never been praised before. This passion bloomed into thousands of collegians, college students using their studies as means to take the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. During that time, you could ask thousands of college students, what are you doing in school? I'm learning this so that I can go there to tell them about him. As I read of the student volunteer movement, as well as the campus revivals over the last two centuries, I keep asking the question, why are we not a part of something like that? Wouldn't it be great if God called our ministry to proclaim the gospel to the uttermost part of the world? Why not? See, missions is easy to think about. Missions is for them, whoever them are. It's for those people, whoever those people are. It's for people who are really sold out. It's for people who don't have food allergies, who can go to other places. It's for people who like mushrooms. Missions isn't for other people. Missionaries don't have a special genetic code and structure in their blood. Missions is for those people who get a passion for God to be praised by people who are not currently praising him. One of my favorite parts of our church and our ministry is our short-term ministries, our short-term missions projects. Just for fun, how many of you have been overseas on one of those missions teams? Wow. It's remarkable. I love the fact that so many of you go over the summer. And let me tell you why. It's not so much for what happens over there. It's by what happens to you when you come back here. Because you understand that there are Christians in another place who think about the same God in the same way you do. Who understand the Bible in the same way you do. Who worship God similarly to the way you do. Whose music and content is exactly identical to yours. But God definitely wired different people to sing different ways in different genres all around the world. I can't help but think that God is a very musical God, to give all the styles of music and to receive equal glory from them all. Why not have that kind of movement in our ministry? The answer is in Psalm 117. And I'm praying that our ministry jumps into this verse, these verses, these two simple verses, and never comes out. To give a vision of the glory of God and an extension of salvation to people who don't know him. If you understand the purpose in this psalm, you can't help but want to evangelize. This could be called the Old Testament's Great Commission. So let's look at this together, and in the outline that I didn't give Josie, who will not be on PowerPoint today, let me give you two exclamations to recover the motive for missions. Two exclamations, like an exclamation mark, strong, bold statements. Two exclamations to recover the motive for missions. You gonna be able to take notes today without PowerPoint? So notice this is a stretch. You have to use your ears and your pens alone. Two exclamations to recover the motive for missions. Number one. First exclamation is this: the reach of God's praise is universal. The reach of God's praise is universal, meaning it's not limited to any localized group. Look at verse 1. Praise the Lord, and then this phrase, all nations. Laud him, give him praise, all nations. Peoples. I find it interesting that in this context, being in the Jewish Psalter, it doesn't say, praise the Lord, all the promised land inhabitants. Praise the Lord, all Jews. Praise the Lord, all promised people, all covenant citizens, all chosen Jewish lovers of God. It says, praise the Lord, everybody, all nations. Twice in verse 1, the word praise is used, but in Hebrew, there are two different words, praise and laud in the New American Standard. The first word is hallel, from which we get hallelujah. It means boast in, shine in, rejoice in, make shine, make bright. The second is shabbat, It means to glory in, to boast in, especially with singing. When these two work together, they intend to say that the deepest, consistent joy of life is to be enjoying and giving God glory with our lips and with our lives. Praise God with your life. Praise God with your lips. This psalm calls upon every... I'm sorry, that's just too good. Gus, is that your little one? When I say praise God, all people, and Gus's son starts yelling, that is a good sign for a future missionary. That couldn't have been more perfect, Gus. Thank you. Why did you take him out? That would have been great. I need those amens. Well, back to Psalm 117. This psalm calls upon every single human being to praise the true one living God. This is important because it says that the only true worship is to the only true God. Meaning, see what's being said here, if everyone in the world is supposed to praise Yahweh, is supposed to praise the God of the Old Testament, who is the God who became Jesus Christ in flesh, if everyone is to praise that God, then every other praising, every other worship of every other God is false. Whereas some religions make enemies of those who do not believe what they believe, Christians make every effort to show the one true God to the nations so they can believe what we believe. Exodus chapter 20, you shall have no other gods before me, said the Lord. This also implies, it has to, world evangelism. How can people who don't know the Savior praise God? Book of Romans answers, how shall they hear unless someone tells them? Look again at who's doing this praising. All nations and all peoples. Who is this? Simply the Jews and Gentiles. Everybody. By the time of Jesus, by the way, the Jews had developed a national bigotry that didn't care if the Gentiles were converted or not. And it's easy for us to look at first century Judaism and say, I can't believe they lost the passion for proselytizing people. And those rascal Jews, how could they possibly think that they had rights on God himself and didn't tell anyone else about him? Yeah, it's easy to throw rocks at them. What about us? Simple test. Ready? Got your seatbelt on? All right. Don't say it out loud, please. Who was the last person and when was the last time you told them about Jesus and the gospel? Push pause. When was that? Who was that? If you struggle to remember that, that's a problem. Now, the good news is you can fix that in the first 10 minutes you leave this church. Somebody you're going to see at a restaurant, somebody you're going to see at lunch, don't hesitate at what this psalm is calling you to do, which is to tell people of the gospel. In Deuteronomy 32:43, the Lord said, rejoice, O nations, his people. The last verse in Psalm 150, in the Psalms 150, verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now that doesn't mean that the dogs need to be yelping praise to God. Everything that has breath does praise the Lord except humans. God takes specific glory out of the whole animal kingdom. It's people who rebel against him. No animal has ever rebelled against God. They don't have souls that way. Only people do. This verse is explained by the Great Commission itself. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the, what's the word? Nations. Psalm 67 has that same accent. Psalm 96:10, say among the nations the Lord reigns. Isaiah 40, verse 9, be yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift high your voice to the mightily, O Jerusalem. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Get up on a mountain and tell everybody, here's your God. We sing this song, and Romans picks up this passage under Paul's pen, but listen to this, Isaiah 52:7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace, brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Spiritual gut check. Do you have a passion to see all peoples know about the Lord, or are you just leaving it to the missionaries? Praise God for those missionaries. Go get them, Tigers. Tell us, come home, bring some slides. We'd love to see that. Are you willing to sacrifice to see it happen? Oh, we love the idea that someone would go, but are we willing to sacrifice to be a part of it? Giving money to missions efforts. Our church is in a campaign right now to raise money for that. That's not just for the older people. That's for you and me as well. Like how I grouped myself in with you. How about this? Okay, everyone, take a deep breath. Eye contact. Here we go. Ready? Ready? Now listen. Push pause on every distracted thought for just 1 minute. Listen. What about you going, oh, I went on short-term missions last year. No, that's not what I mean. Have you ever thought, maybe I should just ditch this whole American thing and go to a place that needs me to do what I know to do? Wait, Rick, you just crossed the comfort zone. Now you're standing too close, and I don't like what you're saying. Well, you don't have to go. The question shouldn't be, why should I go? The question should be, why not? All of us should be willing to go. The question is, why not go? Every time I read this psalm, I'm thinking about the drive home when I'm going to say, Kim, maybe we should go. And she would say, okay, I'm ready. Do you prize Jesus so much that you want to see him and the gospel prized and praised by as many people as possible? Honest discussion just between us. Well, family time, our numbers are down today because of a retreat. We've had a, and I'm not going anywhere this week, but we've always had a burden for England, my wife and I have. We were just talking recently and said, it's dead. Just ride the subway and listen. Just try to evangelize anyone over there. And we're always saying, man, maybe we should just go over there and stay. We'll talk about it more, Luke. Don't worry. Okay. Seeing two big eyes in the front row, Luke's going, we're moving to England. Why not? Some of you are really good at languages. Some of you speak foreign languages. Maybe God oriented your personality and your training that way so that you could go and do this. John Piper writes, we're hypocrites to pretend enthusiasm for overseas ministry while neglecting the miseries at home. In other words, your ministry and desire for the lost is to come right next door to you before it even extends overseas. That's the balancing act. It's kind of easier to say, well, maybe I should go overseas and tell people about the gospel over there. Well, the question is, are we telling people about the gospel here and now? We want to see them worship and give praise to God. This is why you should go to the mission field. This is why you should pray for the mission field. This is why you should give to the mission field. Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud him, all peoples. And the question is, what am I going to do to help that happen? To make that happen? Number two, second exclamation. Motive for mission. The reasons for God's praise are amazing. This is insightful and in verse 2, the reasons for God's praise are amazing. Why praise God? Why should the people all around the world do this? Well, the first reason is that God has and there's no other way to say this, colossal kindness. Look at verse 2. For his loving kindness is great toward us. Stop right there. Loving kindness is a workhorse word in the Hebrew. It's hesed. It really can't be translated with a word. It needs a paragraph. Kindness, loving kindness, mercy. Similar words like that are translated for this word. The RSV usually says steadfast love, occasionally loyalty. The New American Standard says loving kindness, kindness, love. The NIV calls this unfailing love. The psalmist doesn't stop with the word hesed. He tells us that God is great in his loving kindness. This is what's amazing. This is kind of strange that God is nice. Yes, he's mean in judgment. I understand that. But let's talk about it. God is kind. He is so kind. Are you ready for this? That you're alive. That's kind. If you don't believe that, just rewind the last year of your life and the sins, and then the last 10 years and go on. He's great in his kindness. Then it personalizes it toward us. Here's the good news of the gospel. Ready? Here's the starting point for evangelism. God is angry at you. It's the nice first spiritual law, isn't it? God is angry at you, but there's good news. He's kind in the gospel, if you believe. Not only is he colossal in his kindness, but eternal in truth. Look on at the second phrase. And the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Now, this word truth is a very interesting word. It can be translated truth or faithfulness. And I think he's faithful because he's true, and he's true because he's faithful. They're both the same thing. God is a covenant or promise-making God. He's a covenant-keeping God. It's the same word translated for us, amen. And his truth and faithfulness never, ever fails. It's eternal. Unlike the fickle love of this world, he never changes. Notice the psalm ends the way it began, with a praise, a call to praise God. So, what does this psalm teach us? God is to be praised by who? Everybody. How is everyone going to know the God to praise? Someone has to tell them. Who's going to tell them? The missionaries! Well, okay. Who are the missionaries? Well, I hope it's some of you. And if you can't go, if you won't go, if there's reasons that you shouldn't go, then you ought to make it possible for others to go. Financially, by prayer, by support, by giving. By keeping in touch with the missionaries. We used to have missionaries assigned to each Bible study, and maybe that's something we need to look at again. So that we're caring for them. What happens is they get out on the field and they get just entrenched in everything they're doing, and it's real easy for us here to forget what's going on there. It's not necessarily even bad. We got our own lives and worlds and ministry to take care of. But something to remind us of what's going on, I think, would be helpful. Let me give you a really good reminder. Ready for this? 30 million people die in the world each year. Each day, 82,000. Ready for this? Someone dies every three... No, let me say it. Three people die every second in the world. Every second, three people die. Now, just think for a minute of the souls going into eternity right now. Ready? Here we go. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24. They're in eternity right now. Every second, three people in the world die. So will you, and so will I. The whole point is to get everyone ready for that moment that they'll face the great judge. All of that leads us to where I took an excursion a minute ago. Turn to turn over to 1 Peter, where we've been studying for a while. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Now, this is what's remarkable. The Jews were to do this in Psalm 117 because they were a chosen race, royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's possession. Listen to what he says to us who have the gospel. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Why? Why did God own us? Why did God redeem us? Why did God save us? That you may proclaim, tell, exclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you, let me tell you about you. You were once not a people, but now you're the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. There's your purpose. Telling people about what's excellent about God. And providing for people to tell people somewhere else all around the world what's excellent about God to people who don't even know who God is. Read missionary biographies. Read that book that our church is highlighting this month on William Carey. Go to our Adopt a Missionary website and see what you can do to meet specific needs. Consider your involvement financially going short term, long term, intermediate term. I was just contacted by one of our missionaries who asked me, could he have an intern for a year? So what would that intern do? Would he preach? Would he teach? He says, no, I want a girl who can come and work at an AIDS orphanage for a year. Okay. Another guy tells me, boy, could I have an intern for 6 months to come and preach all around the surrounding churches in London, be an itinerant preacher, and just go around and teach. Not teach them, show them what expository preaching is just by preaching and filling pulpits. There are opportunities there, and I want to make sure that in the coming weeks and months, I'm telling you what's available so some of you might actually do these things.